Hello, welcome to the Big Scuba Show.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jamie Parker, and I work for a company called Real Diving, who are the distributor for Santee and Avatar in the UK. And I'm here on the Big Scuba podcast, very excited to talk a little bit about what it is to be a dealer as a Santee dealer and what things you need to learn and what we teach them and tools we give them for helping you pick your best dry suit.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scuba podcast. My name's Ian. I will be your dive master for this episode. Now, I'm never alone on these things. With me is my co-host.
My name's Gemma. Yeah, I'm here in body.
And, we are. Yes. So welcome. Thanks for downloading this episode, which is 175.
Amazing.
If you're new, and we want to say thanks for joining us for your first time. What is this podcast about? Well, we talk to divers, we talk to people who generally like being under the water.
Yes, and connected to the water. So we have spoken to people that snorkel, paddleboard, and we've even spoken to people that use the underwater world as part of their job, like astronauts.
Yeah, because with diving, you never know where it leads, and it can lead to all different manner of jobs, interests and hobbies and things like that. And we also get to talk to great companies like Narctec 90, they are beyond technical, and they sponsor this podcast, and we think they're great. And if you have any dealings with Narctec 90, I'm pretty sure you'll think they're great too. Anything to do with the diving world, if you're looking for a dive computer, they've got Ratio, they've got Shearwater, all UK stock. You've got any issues, they service them.
They're
and
a service
hold
centre.
Your hand to get your way through to setting them all up, so they know exactly what there is and about what there is to know about these dive computers. Get to know Narctec 90.
They're a UK based company, but they service worldwide.
Yeah, so we love them the bits, and we want to say thank you for sponsoring this episode.
Absolutely.
Coming up on this episode, we are talking to friends of the podcast, Santee. So they're coming on and to talk. We're talking to Jamie Parker, who is the UK sales manager.
And Scandinavian sales manager for Real Diving.
Yeah.
And Real Diving, they distribute the Santee products.
Yes. And also, you've been on the rebreather, as many divers like to say.
Dark side,
welcome
apparently.
To the dark side.
Yes.
So we can have a little chat about diving, your first dive on a rebreather. We've started the Dan Dive Medical Technician course. We'll talk about that. And there's many things, YouTubes, things like that, all going out as well.
Yeah.
So lots to talk about. So, we've got Jamie Parker on, and we're going to have a chat with him all about what it's going to be like to, for dealers in the UK and Europe. How do you start that process?
To become a Santee dealer.
Yeah.
So that involves a training program from Santee themselves to take the dealers through that process. And then they become experienced enough and have the knowledge for anybody can walk into a dive centre and they're professionally measured up and assessed for a Santee dry suit.
Yeah. Now, they've been around a while, and but I'm certainly seeing now more divers in Santee
definitely
suits.
Yeah,
and actually the Avatar suits as well.
Yeah, and it's much more prominent in social media as well.
And they're on social media. In fact, we were talking about this a while back actually with Santee, maybe like as back as last year, talking about how they are on social media the whole time. They're sharing all the
very
time.
Very active, yeah.
And, social media is the way to advertise these days.
Yes, yeah.
Websites, great, and they are your shop window, but having being on social media today is a great way of advertising. And more companies are now getting into that.
Yes, and Santee, Real Diving, Avatar, they're very much into their reels, using ambassadors and advocates of their products, which is great.
Yeah.
And, that sells the story.
And they look smart, don't they? I think when you look at some people in their Santee suits, you kind of look at them and think, you know what?
They look quite cool.
They do look cool. They look smart. And why not? Why? What's wrong with looking smart at the dive site?
And also they've got an element of quality about them. Like when you see the braces,
It does feel nice.
Well, and they look like substantial, and they're branded Santee, and it just says everything, really.
Yeah, and their undergarments and stuff look smart as well. So look forward to doing this with Jamie. So that's really
coming
good.
Up.
Let's talk about you in a rebreather then. So, so I did this
December time.
December, loved it. How was it for you?
Well, it's something I never expected to do.
Right.
And obviously you did it, and then I got the opportunity to meet with Scott, and I really enjoyed it.
So who's Scott?
So Scott is Scott Laddiman, and he is from Scott Scuba Services, and he's a PSA instructor.
Yeah, so PSA is Professional Scuba Association.
Yes, so he, among other things, he's a CCR diver. He does open circuit courses as well, but he runs with an AP rebreather. So that was, we turned up at Stony Cove.
This is a fully automated rebreather system, isn't it?
It is, and obviously there are other rebreathers out there that operate different systems. So we've heard of KISS, JJ, are there any other? There are others,
there
aren't
are,
there?
Yeah. But the main thing is that it's one of the first out there, actually. It came out in the diving world, was AP. And, and they're very much like a car, where some people like going fully automatic, some people like having something that's a bit more Tektronic, so it's in between, and some people just like having the manual gearbox.
Yes, yeah.
And having control over those settings.
Yeah, so for the tri-dive purposes, the automatic system was obviously one main thing.
So did you have any concerns before you were getting it?
Well, from what you'd said, it was about the buoyancy. So that was going to be one thing. How do I control that? And we did a dry dive on the edge of the car once the system was on, just to make sure everything was heating up and the scrubber was working. And then getting in the water, we had to obviously check all the weights, make sure that was...
For me, putting on a twin set, it's not close to my body weight. I'm heavier than what that system is. Although it's heavy, but for you...
It was very heavy.
That's getting on for nearly your body weight.
Yeah.
You're putting on your back.
Yeah, I didn't notice it too much. Obviously, got in the water, got the weights on then, and just tried to get settled, was apprehensive. And it took a while because you do have like a gag strap on. He didn't want me to take the regulator out of my own accord.
No, so because it could flood the system.
Yeah, and obviously do damage to the electronics. So that took some getting used to. Him explaining to exhale air through your mask, which sounds completely bonkers. And
Your nose becomes the vent.
It does. And that is such a contradiction from open circuit.
Yes, different.
Because you don't usually exhale air through your mask when you're on open circuit.
No, not unless you're clearing your mask or anything like that.
Yeah. So that was that. But once we got finally under the water and we just stayed on the shelf, and just got acclimatised. He did try and put the stage on, but that threw me a bit completely.
Yeah, can do, yeah.
I've never experienced any
maybe
other stages
something
on.
We should look at is, because especially if you're going deeper in cold water, you should really have a
contingency. So that took some getting used to. And then, but once settled, he then started taking weight off me because I'd settled.
Yeah.
And practiced the buoyancy and then went for a little...
It's really weird, isn't it? Because that you... When he explained, about the...
It's a feeling.
With the breathing, you got that counter lung that works in opposite to your breathing. It's quite hard to understand it until you actually do the dive and then you're
It is really... When you're on open circuit, obviously you've got all that noise and you can hear your breaths, can't you?
Yeah.
But when you're on CCR, I remember just poodling along thinking, I'm not really thinking about breathing.
No, it becomes second nature.
If you do open circuit, you always know you're breathing.
Yeah.
That sounds weird, but it was, the noise was so, so dramatically different.
It's pretty amazing, actually. And I don't think unless you do free diving or you do going on diving on a rebreather, do you notice that difference in?
Yeah, and then another new volume. Thing was the rebreather is on a wing, and I'd never dived a wing before.
I like a wing.
I did. And Scott suggested using my dry suit for my buoyancy, which I did, and that worked perfectly. Probably much easier because it's one less thing to kind of consider.
You feel so much freedom diving in a wing than you do a BCD. You know, with a BCD, you've got this great big thing hugs you, and you know, people do like that. You know, I've dived in a BCD for years, and there is that comfort of a hugging thing that, and you've got pockets and you've got all this around you. Where with the dip, and you know, the wing, you basically hang on the straps and you've got that balloon behind you, and that's your buoyancy.
It wasn't,
but some people don't like it because the whole thing when you're on the surface.
Well, I didn't experience that.
But all you
feeling.
Do is deflate it a bit,
a little bit,
and you're fine. You know, it's all good.
So, and Scott said he wanted me to come out smiling, and I certainly did, and I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
So, because I think, it's a completely new thing. But then once you get the knack of exhaling the air through your mask and obviously exhaling that through when you ascend, I think it's a great way to...
I think it's credit to Scott as well, because I know, you know, we've both now been through that experience with Scott. We can think of other people we know who've been through that with Scott, and totally recommend him as an instructor. Patient, informative, responsive,
thorough as well, and
safe.
Yes,
you know, let's say safe.
Yeah,
because we get people who come on to and talk to us about various instructors, and you know, abroad, not just in the UK but abroad, and they will tell us about different things where it's not, they haven't been safe.
Yeah, and you know, I'll be honest, when I first got in, I thought, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this because it was a whole new thing, and I had that kind of. My heartbeat was going, but he just completely...
You do have that thing with your heart.
I do.
Sky high.
It's an element of apprehension and something new. And I think it will always be with me for diving.
And I think as well, doing that in the week up at Stony...
It was quiet, wasn't
when
it?
When it's quiet, apart from a few crazy swimmers. And, there was a few other divers
there, but
nothing like it's on a Saturday.
No, that helped.
It's quiet and you can just concentrate. You haven't got that, busyness, of loads of divers around you, especially jumping in at the quay.
Yeah, but honestly, although there was that initial panic, heartbeat going, when I got out, I would have gone back in again.
You weren't that for long, though. I'd say probably... 10 minutes maybe at absolute most, as you getting that right.
Yeah, it was just getting used to the whole new feeling of, the regulator, probably, having the wing on, I guess.
Yeah.
But Scott did amazingly with me. And
I think, taking the what's the name off, the tank.
The stage.
The stage and leaving that to the side in the water. Was a good idea.
Yeah, but next time...
I think that gave you your comfort. Confidence back.
The next day, I did know that I'd had that weight on. I did hurt. Mm. Yeah, but, that's just diving and, that's something that you'd need to work on, having all that weight on your back.
I'd say lighter than a twin set, though.
Yeah, but that's, again, not done a twin set, have I?
Although I'm talking about a twin set of 12s. Mm. It's definitely lighter than that.
Yeah. But I'd... highly recommend it. Contact Scott and get yourself booked in for a CCR tri dive.
Yeah.
And
you don't particularly want to get into closed circuit diving, but you've heard a lot about it and you just want to get that experience. It's worth making contact with him to book up.
I think we've both done it, so we've got more of an understanding of rebreather diving. But when we talk to the people that we experience on the podcast and we meet out and about, we can appreciate
to book up with Scott again. I think I'd definitely
do one of us together.
Yeah,
and
I think that'd be cool.
It'd be quite good fun. Yeah.
So I think the first time you do it, I think you are spending a lot of time getting,
what's this?
And that way, I think the next time you dive, you've already done that. You know what to expect.
You've got that kind of memory.
And the
memory.
Next one, you can actually kind of... let's say, I don't know where, but relax. But I think you'll set into it quicker and they enjoy the dive. So maybe you can even have a longer dive.
Mm, yeah, but the dive we had, we did the shelf, we went to the Nautilus and then back round to the cockpit. So yeah. We had a nice, I don't know, half an hour dive, yeah. If that. But obviously there was plenty more time in the water, just getting adjusted to the weights and getting everything shipshape. But yeah.
So I loved it too, but I go out because my suit was leaking like sea.
Yeah, but we also met another guy who was having another session with Scott in the afternoon. He'd done a tri dive. And blow me, he'd gone out, brought a rebreather.
Yeah, he brought his own, didn't he?
Yeah, so he was just waiting for his new one to arrive, but he was there with Scott to do some skills.
Yeah, and he's now working his way through.
Yeah, so yeah, shout out to Craig.
So well done.
Yeah,
nice one. Hope that encourages more divers.
And if you've got any questions,
ladies into rebreather diving.
If you've got any questions for either of us, you know, pop them our way and we'll happily answer them.
Yeah, yeah, and there'll be a link in the show notes of where you can find Scott as well.
Yes.
So that's all good. We need to say great congratulations to our local dive centre, Polly and Chris at Crystal Sea Scuba, as well, because they've been given a Paddy Award. Now, this is a new one. I've not heard of this award.
Seen it out before.
No, but well done to them. Years of dedication in the diving world. You know, both of them are very well known in the diving world, and have run Crystal Seas now for years, and great respected. And they've been given a bronze award for Professional Development Excellence Award. For Paddy Instructor Development Centre.
Yeah,
so
that's good, isn't it?
So it's about their work in bringing instructors through all the way from rescue diver through to dive masters through to instructors and then beyond.
Yeah, and you know, shout out to Trudy. She's their course director, isn't
course
she?
Course director, yep.
Yeah, so it's really good. Local dive centre, well established. It just shows you where you can go.
Certainly do. So well done, Crystal Sea Scuba. If you want to look them up, just look for scuba4me.co.uk.
Great. Yep.
Well done to them. Right. Before we talk about Dan, what we're doing on that, if you're looking on our social media this week, we've been
sending up
to the heavens at YouTube several videos about Deep, our visit of Deep. That's kind of it covered, really, our initial visit.
We released the YouTube of the whole day, didn't we? Yeah.
I have to say, the most popular one has been Barry.
Yeah, and then we've split it up our sections of our day. So, you know, looking around the underwater modular system and going to the campus, see the waterside. And then we obviously spoke to Barry, who's a submarine pilot on the Triton subs.
Which we could have spoke to for, all day.
Even if you don't want to watch the other ones, watch Barry, because he's very entertaining and very passionate about being a pilot on these subs and flying them. And he went through what he'd seen, and then he took us on a tour. We actually got these subs were in the workshop, and he took
us... £4 million Triton subs.
Yeah, two of them, a red one and a yellow. The yellow one.
They're 3003, so they'll go down to 1,000 metres.
1,000 metres.
And has been.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So we'll put the link into that YouTube video in the show notes. Have a watch.
Have a look, yeah. And then we've got some videos to put up about Go Diving Show, so try and get them up this week. So,
And if you want to listen to what we did at the Go Diving Show, that's in the previous podcast, episode 174. And we just give our rundown. And there were a few interviews there with Miranda Krestovnikov, Apex we spoke to, Noct we spoke to, the guys from Ratio Computers.
Yeah.
And then we went through our tri dive in the pool on the side mounts as well. So we've done a lot of tri dives.
Busy. So that's that. Then let's talk about Dan and what we're doing with Dan. So we have started this course with Dan, haven't we?
Yes. Europe. Chantelle Newman made contact with us. And
before we go to that, if you don't know who Dan is and you think, who's Dan? Who's Dan?
D-A-N.
Yeah. So go to them and have a look. Divers Alert Network, and look them up. If they do insurance, all sorts of things.
They're there for advice if you have any medical questions as well, or within an emergency, they're the people to call.
They are. Big, well-respected organisation, worldwide. And you know, if you're in, if you're in any part of diving, UK, abroad, especially abroad, make sure you've got their contact details, website, blah blah blah. Give them a call. Make sure you know where to find them.
Yeah, right? They are a worldwide organisation. They're split up into a Europe, and then there's the American side.
They cover
and
everything:
Asia.
Recreational, yep. Commercial. You name it. Yeah. So I get to that. So we're doing this course with Chantal Newman, who's going to, she's just going to be on speed dial. It's going to be
help. No, we're joking.
I'm not. You might be, I'm not. Hang on.
So the course we're doing is the Diver Medical Technician course.
Yes. Which is the theory of the Dan Groeschel Diver Medic course. Will be blended learning, which is an online training, at the end of which you'll be able to register for the practical section of the course that will take 2 days.
Yeah, so the actual course, the course content is online, and we'll be doing that. It's approximately 30 to 40 hours of online learning, so a mixture of we've got PDFs,
well,
haven't
you
we?
You've got patient assessment protocols, yep. And monitoring vital signs,
administering emergency oxygen, airway management, CPR, AED use,
then treating environmental and pressure related injuries like DCS.
Yeah, so we've got managing wounds, bleeding,
responding to poisonings and allergic reactions and seizures,
looking at safety protocols for remote diving operations,
and then scene management and evaluation.
Evacuation.
Situations.
Evacuation.
My eyesight. Anyway, so there's a lot. There's how many hours?
30 to 40 hours. Yeah,
a lot. So, and potentially 8 months of learning. So it's going to be a long while.
Yeah. So that our plan is we're going to go through the modules together.
Yeah.
So that we obviously we're going to do it at the same speed. We've already done module one today, yeah. And we've started module two.
Yeah.
So it's online, it monitors your progress, so we're 3% of the way through it.
Yeah, and I think if we can get this completed by the start of the next dive
beginning
show,
of next year,
I think,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
So
we've got to be realistic. We've got day jobs and podcasts.
Families.
Families, but, yeah. So yeah. There's a fair bit to do, but that's our plan. We'll do it together when we've got an hour.
It's going to be good. So we'll keep sharing about it. We'll keep telling you.
If you do want to check out the course, you can register to apply for it.
Go to Dan's website.
Yeah, go to Dan's website. And I did see Chantel post the other day. We're talking March 2023, if you're listening in the future, that there was a discount if you wanted to purchase the course.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think it's like $550 at the moment rather than $7. So. But definitely something worth considering. It's just on that other level.
Especially if you are like rescue diver, diving, and maybe you've got a medical background, who knows, you know, of some description.
Yeah. So, any first aid medical course is worth doing because you never know.
You never know.
When you could be confronted with, you know, anybody falling over in front
in
of you.
In the street. Could happen at Tesco's, at the supermarkets aren't available.
It could
happen.
But being prepared is better than not being.
It is. So we'll share about that as we continue that journey, really.
Yes, you'll be on the journey, the Dan journey, with us.
So look forward to that. Right, okay, that's kind of covered just about everything. I do believe that's the other page done.
I might have needed those notes.
Anyway, so let's get on and let's talk to Jamie.
Jamie Parker from Real Diving. He's going to talk to us about the Santee Delus.
And why you should be in a Santee suit.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Jamie Parker, welcome to the Big Scuba Podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. So do you just want to give us a brief intro about who you are and where your career path has led you to being with Santee and Real Diving?
Yeah. I'm actually from the Midlands. So I'm from Birmingham originally, and I went off to join the army and spent nearly 7 years in the army. And on leaving the army, my career path was decided I wanted to go into the diving world. So yeah. I did my PADI instructor course, and then that was 2001, I think it was. And I worked at in Birmingham, actually, at Dostill Quarry.
Oh, yeah,
For a couple of years before going down to the South Coast to work as a skipper at Fathom and Blues.
Oh, nice.
A couple of years. And then I went off and did the normal traveling around the world and teaching around the world. Ended up in Africa for a number of years, leading trips and guiding in Africa, and then met my Swedish girlfriend 15 years ago and ended up in Sweden. So along that path, I met a lot of people in the diving industry, obviously in the UK, and then eventually in Sweden, I met Johan, who is the owner of Real Diving.
Yeah.
When diving was at the very start, its embryonic phase, in a basement underneath a tattoo parlor in
No
Gothenburg,
way.
and then I was the first employee then. So yeah, and the rest is history. Now we are where we are. So now we're distributing all over Scandinavia and the UK and Ireland, and we recently started with Santi in Germany as well. So now we've
Yeah.
gone from that small basement to over 1,000 square meters of warehouse in
Wow.
Gothenburg
Amazing. Yeah.
in the last 12 or 13 years.
That must be amazing to been part of that and see that growth.
Yes, it's been really cool. It's been nerve-wracking at times. But I mean, Santi was one of the first brands that we had. We got that Johan got that pretty early on. So we've been a part of the Santi journey now for, I might be in trouble now, I think 11 years, possibly even 12 years. So we've really, not only has Real Diving grown and evolved, but also we've gone along that process with Santi as well, which has been really, really exciting. And now we've I think we're up to 13 or 14 full-time staff now, with our own marketing departments and service departments and purchasing departments. So yeah, it's all changed from, we were joking this morning that we used to write orders on Post-it notes board. And now it's all computer systems and barcodes.
So people will have heard of or seen Real Diving, and so that's kind of an umbrella company, is it, that Santi sits under?
No, absolutely not. So Real Diving is a distributor, and we're based in Gothenburg. So we distribute a number of brands, Santi, Suex, Halcyon, Knight, K01. So we distribute them, and we are a pure distributor. So that is the role of a distributor, is to bridge the gap between the manufacturer and the market. It's my job to know what's happening in the markets. If you can imagine somebody like Santi, who's a global company, it's very difficult for them to understand what's happening within territories and within the diving community. And that's where the distributor comes in, to really understand the needs of each individual market, feed that back to Santi so they can make adjustments to their product line. And yeah, so that's our job. So we hold stock, we train dealers. And we run events like the Go Diving Show on the 2nd and 3rd of March, I think it is. There was a shameless plug. Yeah, so that's really the role of the distributor. And you could say, I mean, as a brand, your job as a brand is to elevate the brand on a global platform. And then as a distributor, it's to elevate the brand within your territories. Then as a dealer, it's to elevate your brand within your own community and your wider area. So really, I feel like when that system, which is the old-fashioned way of doing it, is working well, it's still an unbeatable combination. Because you have the right people with the right local knowledge doing the part.
No, that makes absolute sense. So that's hopefully for our listeners makes it clear. Because we just see the brands, but Santi brand has become more obvious at dive sites, especially to us, definitely.
Seeing them a lot more wider about now.
So Santi as a brand, it's a worldwide brand.
Santi operates all over the world and through a number of distributors, and it works purely, apart from in Poland, where they do direct sales, obviously they're in Poland. Then the rest of the world is covered by a team of distributors, a really good team of distributors, actually, who are all doing the same thing. I mean, we all hold stock, We hold a huge amount of stock of heating products, undersuits, and then we also do the training for the dealers as well. And that's the same in all of the territories.
Yeah. Yeah. So talking about dealers, how do you have dealers come to you to say, I want to be a stockist for Santee, or do you go and find them?
That's quite interesting. When a distribution first starts, we say that you're begging somebody to allow for them to allow you to sell their product, and you're begging somebody to buy it. And then there's a certain point, which is probably the success point of a distributor, when brands are asking you to sell their products and people are asking you to buy the products from you. So that's it's that happened thankfully a few years ago for us. So we when we took over the UK market, there were already some dealers of a small number of dealers that were dealing direct with Santee, and for them it was working really well, and they're some of the best dealers in the UK, and it was working for them. But then the country, I think Santee felt like as a country they needed to get more out of the UK, and they wanted a bit of a helicopter view, you can say. So we took over, and then we started by, to be honest, doing exactly what we've done in with Santee in Scandinavia, is just showing how good the brand is by using it. So we dive a lot with our dealers, and Santee help us with that, and they also come and join us as well. So most of our dealers in the UK we've actually had over here into Sweden for a visit, where we can take them to the mine, or we can take them to the west coast of Sweden, and we do a lot of training with them, and then we introduce the product properly, and then we support them when they go home. So we do the dealer training at home. When a suit costs, the north of £2,000 in some cases for a Santee suit, it's super important that the people working in the shop have the confidence to do that. And I can tell you that as a dealer, the first time you measure somebody for a suit and take the £2,500 off them, and they have to wait for 8 weeks for this suit to come, it's a nerve-wracking experience. Because when that suit comes and it doesn't fit them, or it does fit them. So part of our job is, in fact, a large part of our job is education. Ensure that the dealers feel confident in understanding how a suit should fit, understanding how to discuss it with a person, how to get the right suit for the person. And Santee's got a wonderful range of suits as well. So it's
Yeah.
not
And it
one.
must be working because of the amount of Santee suits that we see.
Yeah, I mean, we've got some great ambassadors for Santee. Some of them you've had on your podcast recently, like Phil, for example, Phil Short. So we've got some really good ambassadors out there, but then it's about getting the dive center owners into the suits. I know you know Polly and Chris well. Polly loves a Santee suit. But getting the dive centers into them, because at the end of the day, if the dive center owners don't believe in the product, then
That's absolutely right. It's got to come from the top, hasn't it? And for people who are new, and new and dealerships who haven't worked with you guys before, they've got to sing that same song, haven't they? And they've got to, because there's a quite there's several brands out there of all similar price ranges, and they've got to believe in your product. So it's good that you actually get them over and you do the dive in and you build you start to because it's a bit like us, we like to build a relationship with a business, and it's the same, it sounds like it's exactly what you do. And you then hold their hands all the way through the setup process, and then when you set them live, rather than saying, "Hey, there's some training material. Go read that, and off you
good
go."
luck.
You're there all the way through, which is, that's really good.
Well, the now we're at the point we don't really need to do cold calling anymore, apart from when we initially set up a territory. But I always joke that it's a, it's weird. A guy from Birmingham's calling from a company in Sweden talking about a brand from Poland. It's all very confusing.
It must confuse people.
So it's imperative that they come over. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you've got to, especially with a brand like Santee, you have to understand where it comes from and why. I mean, and And once you understand where it comes from, and by where it comes from, I mean basically from Tomic to start with, the owner of Santee, and all the way through the developments of it, and the choices that they make to stick with cold gluing, for example, instead of going for the faster, cheaper option of doing hot tape. When it comes to the sourcing of material, you know, all of the Santee suits, not Avatar, all of the Santee suits, the material is made in a factory in the UK called Ferguson, which to a business may be like, well, it's all coming from one place, but it's to guarantee the quality of the material. So you'll find, I wouldn't use the word copies, I might get into trouble, but you'll find some similar side to suits out there, but really there is only one true Santee suit, and that is with material from Ferguson, cold glued and made in Poland. And they are exceptionally good. And when you visit Santee and you understand the capability of the company, when you walk in and see it in Poland, and it's, you know, 130, 140 staff working there, and they, yeah, it's an impressive experience when you go over and see it. So we have that confidence as well. So you have to give the confidence to us as a distributor, because I truly believe, and I'm not saying that there's no other good dry suits, I truly believe in Santee because I see it to its core every day. I know exactly what it is. So I have that confidence. So when we're training, and the rest of the sales team do, so when we're training dealers and we're talking to them, we can give pass that confidence over onto them.
Yeah. So if you became, or a dealer signs up with Santee, how long is the process from sort of that initial contact to obviously them feeling confident that they're going to sell Santee suits? Yeah,
that's a good question. So the first thing, once we've established that we want to use them as a dealer, and they like us, I mean, the first thing for us always is a relationship, as you just said. And to be honest, we don't necessarily look at how big the shop is and how much they're turning on selling 100 suits a year. We're more interested in the people, because if you've been in this industry long enough, you know that, you know, the winds of change can blow very fast in this industry.
Yeah.
And everybody started somewhere is our philosophy. So we'd rather work with smaller dealers that are the right dealers, that will actually give the time and effort into the selling the product. So once we've decided that we're going to, and that's a mutual decision, and normally they've been over here and seen us. The first thing is that we wrote a few years ago now, like a 5 or 6 hour training program for Santee. And that's the number one thing. You have to have done the program. And during that program, we go through the history of Santee, where it's come from, and also the history of dry suits, to understand where tri-laminate dry suits fit into the story of dry suits. And that can also be specific to a territory as well, because the journey of dry suits in the UK is very different than the journey of dry suits in some ways from Germany, for example. So once we go through that, we also look at the different suits, because, as I said, you know, Santee have a full range of suits now, and they are in different price points, but to be honest, the decision of which suit is right for them isn't necessarily about the price, because most of them are touching £2,000 or north of £2,000 anyway. So the important thing, the first thing that we get people to do is an interview. So when somebody comes in to buy a suit, before you even look at the suits, before you even start measuring, looking about colors, talk to the person. What type of diving do you do? What configuration do you use when you dive? Are you a wreck diver from the South Coast and you love digging around in wrecks? Do you use it for teaching? Yeah, I'm mostly teaching at Stony Cove. Or do you use it? What do you use your suit for? What suits have you had before? What did you like about them? What did you not like about them? So you can build up a picture of who this diver is before you even talk about which suit is right for them.
Yeah.
And then from that point, you can make recommendations about suits.
Makes sense. And that
interview also, it runs through the fitting side as well. So, for example, if you're a back mount diver, And you a twin set diver, so you need to do a shutdown on a tank. So when we're looking at the measurements for the suit, maybe we measure the bicep instead of being down by the side, we measure it up here. So we measure it when it's at its fullest extension. Are you a side mount diver? Okay, well, if you're a side mount diver, have you had any issues with your suit? Yeah, I have to throw my tank over here to get to my pocket. Okay, so then as part of the Santi process, we can actually move the pockets 5 centimeters back. So it makes it easier. So the interview and understanding who your customer is, which is a cup of coffee. You know, this isn't like a, it's not a job interview. It's not like
Nice.
50 questions, but have a cup of coffee with the person. Sit down with them. Work out who they are and what they need from a suit. Because within the Santi range, from the eSpace, we have the eSpace, the eLite, the Emotion Plus, the eLite Plus. And everybody gravitates towards Elite Plus because it's, yeah. I mean, it's to me, it's still the benchmark of suits. But there's some people who actually one of the other suits, an Elite. Like I wear an Elite suit because it's tougher. I'm not particularly good at looking after my gear, so there's a lot of reasons why people would take another suit. Once they've got the suits and they've discovered the decided which suits and model they want to go for, then you start the measuring process. And with Santi, really, what you're doing is you're measuring the body. So you don't measure it with undersuits on. You don't think about what they're wearing. You measure the body first of all, because all Santi suits are taken into account for a winter undersuit when they come. The tolerances are given for that.
Right.
So once you've taken the measurements, there's a couple of different measurements for ladies and men. Then you can start looking at the sizing chart. So with the Santi sizing chart, there's 16 sizes of suits. So you look at, okay, which is the suit that's close to me? And this is quite an interesting point because on markets before we started doing this training, there were a much higher number of made-to-measure suits. And I think it just comes down to education about the sizing chart, because with Santi, you have 16 sizes, so you pick whichever one is the closest one to you. For me, it's a large short. Then you can make adjustments. So you can make up to 6 adjustments of up to 5 centimeters on the measurements with the suit for free, included. Well, 4 are included, and the 5 and 6 are paid for. But even with the free adjustments, you can make 4 adjustments to the suit. So you can really, for most people, you can take one of 16 sizes and adjust the suit so it's perfect for them.
Wow.
If you can't, then it's a full made-to-measure suit. So we talk about the measuring process, the fitting process, selecting the size of the suit. They also have to go through which boots they want on their suit, you know, and try all of those boots on, try the seals on. So by the time the suit is ordered, the key thing that should happen is when you receive your Santi suit, you should look down and think, this is my suit. This is exactly how I want it. Because that's the point of Santi. There's no compromise on it's the colors that I want. You can choose whether the zippers left to right or right to left are on the back. You can have a P valve fitted. You can choose between Cytec and Apex valves, whichever suit you. You can make a lot of choices when you're for a standard suit, because you should get that feeling. And as a dealer, if you get that right, then you know that there's a reason why Santi suits, you can Google for a Santi suit and you'll find the same price everywhere. Because it's not about the price in the end. It comes down to, if you're going to buy a suit of that quality, you want to go to the shop that is going to give you the best service and produce. Because getting it 50 quid cheaper, but then it's not right for you, is kind of, you know, biting off your nose to spite your face. So, and we talk about that, and that is actually that comes to fruition. People see it, because then that person goes to a dive site and they sit down next to their buddy who says, "Oi, money bags, where did you new suit?" I got it from Ian and Gemma. You know, I went in there and they measured me. We talked about it. We had a cup of coffee. The whole thing took like an hour and a half. My arms were a little bit short, so they added it a little bit more to the arm. You know, the feeling of ownership is there. And I think that's what you're seeing. And people are proud to wear a Santi suit because it's there.
It's an advert, a walking advert, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's selling the suit.
For sure. And there's, like, for Santi, there is no standard Santi suit.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
No, I like what you say about the measuring and the thought process of, you know, if you're putting your hand behind you trying to do a shutdown on a twin set. I'm on a twin set this coming weekend, and that's the one of the. It wasn't the weights. It's not the weight element so much. It's I go to CrossFit. I work out, and I don't have that much flexibility on the back.
And a suit could make that
the
work.
The suit does go against you, you know, and it's a big ask because, you know, you do teaching in the suit. We'll go into a river with a suit and we do all sorts of things. And people do ask a lot of our suits, but it's really good that you do this whole thorough interview to make sure that suit, because it is a lot of money. Let's say it's a ballpark of £2,000, but get the right suit and it all fits. You're going to wear it time and time again. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy your diving. And you'll be saying, hey, you know, if one of your friends is looking to start diving, you can recommend it because it's a great suit. It feels good, gives you confidence in your diving. And let's face it, if you're down here 20, 30 meters plus, you want to have confidence in your diving, don't you? And confidence in your suit that you can, you know, we often talk in UK, especially in the UK, about winter time. A lot of people don't go diving because of the cold. But really, with the right undersuit and the right dry suit, why not dive? All the visibility.
For sure.
It's brilliant.
And with Santi, then you can bring out the heating as well. But I do want to come back to a point, because we've never met, I don't think, but you seem to be a similar kind of build to me, and it's absolutely true. Guys that are stockier tend to have can have issues, or you don't say you don't want to put more issues into it. But people also want, in this day and age, they don't, you know, when I started diving, a dry suit was literally, it's like a crisp bag, you know, like a large gingerbread man on the front and an extra large one on the back so that you could bend. Because fundamentally, there are movements that have to be allowed when you're diving, certain bodily movements. And when you've got a full body suit, that is either achieved by one or two things. It's either the amount of material or the properties of the material, the fact that it will stretch and it will give. So nobody wants to go back to those days of having these oversized suits where, you know, you can feel the air like a spirit level going around your body. So people want the fitted suit, but at the same time, they want to be able to move. Mm. And if you know what you're doing with a suit, you can achieve both. You know, you can achieve, because there's areas of a suit where they don't need so much room, and then there's areas of a suit where either you can give them slightly more room, or you can make it from a material where it will allow that stretch and that give. There was one other point that you brought up that I wanted to go back to. Yeah, no, the fitting of a suit, actually, when people, quite often at a dive site, when we see people who are struggling with movement in a suit, at least half of the time, it's not the dry suit, it's the undersuit. And you know, you don't want to teach your grandmother to suck eggs, but we talk to the dealers about, when you're fitting an undersuit and you're fitting somebody for a suit, it is incredibly important that the undersuit fits.
Yeah.
Are the undersuits bespoke and measurements changed, or do they come in a range of sizes as well?
Yeah, they're a little bit more forgiving than the dry suits when it comes to sizes. So there's, let's say, more people can fit into a standard undersuit than would fit into a standard dry suit. But also, with a dry suit, you know, if the arm is, that's maybe 2 centimeters too long for most divers, they don't get in that adjusted. But with a dry suit, if you're paying it and it's free to do it anyway, then you would make that adjustment.
Yeah.
But you can make the same adjustments to all of the undersuits as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So But fitting of an undersuit is, especially with a winter suit, something like the BZ400, our winter suit, it needs to fit properly. And quite often you see at dive sites divers who, when they're putting their undersuit on, you think it's going to be interesting when you get your dry suit on. If it's too tight, especially, a lot of people are way too tight undersuits, way too tight. See it, you see it up their backside like a G-string before they've even got their dry suit on. And the problem is, and this is the education that we try to give dealers with a garment that covers your whole body. It's not, if you find tightness here, it's not necessarily this piece of material that's causing the tightness. That the stretch can come from a different part of the body. Because if you imagine if I'm doing this, then it also pulls the material over my ass and my lower back as well. So there's part of the training is to understand how material moves once it's on your body, which is really important to how it fits. And this is not, I mean, we don't produce master tailors in a 6-hour course, but we give some awareness. And of course, there's a way to cheat with Santi if you've got a lot of sizes of suits. We've got a lot of schools now that are actually have got even Elite Plus in their school because they want to use them for sizing. But we always say you should measure everybody you put in a suit. Even if you can imagine how many suits I've done, I can look at somebody and go, yeah, that's, I can pretty much give you the size of the suit and the adjustments. But we get the dealers always to measure you because when you measure some, the more you measure and start looking at the size chart, the more you understand fitting of a suit. So it's education as well. We encourage our dealers also to, this should be a process. So there's nothing wrong with you saying, okay, you're my client and I'm measuring you. And now I'm going to get Gemma to come in and she's just going to measure you as well. Because if you're not talking them through it, then you can measure somebody in 5 minutes just to take the measurements. And then you compare both. So you do it independently and compare both. And if the measurements are the same, then great. If there's measurements that are wrong or different, then together you measure them again. And people get worried, oh, do you think my client will think I don't know what I'm doing? No, I think somebody who's buying a 2,000-3,000 pound suit will be grateful and happy that you are actually doing it correctly. So
Yeah, and it's really it kind of instills confidence, surely, in the customer as well, having that attention.
absolutely.
And it's, I guess we haven't, undersuits always seem like an addition to a dry suit, but having the undersuits with Santi as part of that process is super important.
Absolutely. And you know, and then you come on, and going back to what you're saying about winter diving, then you come on to the heating aspect of Santi, which, I mean, that there's no question that Santi are leading the market by a long way when it comes to heating products. And talking about undersuits as not just this is winter, this is summer, but this is a collection of thermal protection that I have the opportunity to use. And you can layer up those with a good base layer, with a, and some people, if you only have a summer suit and a winter suit, then it's going to be perfect for 2 months in the summer and 2 months in the winter. And the shoulder time of that, you're either going to be too hot or too cold. So there's ways of, and again, this is something that we talk about in the training and what you should be talking to your customers about, that you can use heated vests, you can use different thicknesses of undersuits to really, and being based in Sweden, we can consider ourselves pretty much experts in the staying warm underwater. So you can use the different combinations of thermal protection to make your dive the best as much as possible throughout the season. And heating used to be for technical divers. You know, 5 or 10 years ago, it was only technical divers used it, and not even just technical divers, the top of the technical ladder. But now very much so, especially when it comes to heated vests and heated gloves. I mean, we have dive schools in Sweden who have a bunch of 6-amp batteries and small vests in the school. And when people are diving, if they're doing their open water course and they do day one of the open water training and they're freezing because it's cold, they just stick a vest on them the next day.
Yeah.
Because what is it? It's just it's a vest that you just put that on underneath your undersuit. They don't feel it. There's no restriction. There's no technical aspect to diving in a vest. And they just put their 6-amp battery and connect it. And now they're warm. And actually, from a business point of view, the centers that do that, you know, there's a lot of people, kids and you know, smaller people who suffer from the cold.
Mm-hmm.
Their actual continuing education rate for that person deciding to do an advanced course increases.
Yeah.
Because instead of, you know, they may love the diving, but they're like, yeah, but I nearly died of hypothermia.
Yeah.
And then you stick them in a vest and they're like, now I really love the diving and I didn't die. I'm alive. So then they're more likely to go on to further courses. So heating is really, it's massive in Scandinavia and it's growing rapidly in the UK.
Yeah. Because
people are understanding how accessible it is to everybody.
Today's episode is sponsored by Knocked at 90. So let's find out a bit more about them. Knocked at 90, their tagline has been beyond technical, which describes them pretty well. John Routley and Brent Hudson launched the company over 20 years ago. They are both technical divers who have logged thousands of mixed gas dives between them over a 30-year period. Using their engineering know-how and diving expertise, have developed bespoke, personal, commercial and military diving equipment and products of a universally recognised, unparalleled calibre.
Their ability to be adaptive and versatile with their developments led them to support the NHS during COVID. Using their superior knowledge of breathing and oxygen monitoring systems to help develop emergency ventilators, they also design and supply the sneaky stuff used by defence-based development groups throughout the Western world, although they can't tell us much about that. If you're thinking of moving across to tech diving or completely new to diving, Knocked at 90 can advise and guide on the best equipment and setup for your personal or commercial requirements. Knocked at 90 have unparalleled experience of Shearwater dive computers and are the longest serving and sole and UK European service centre for those. They are happy to offer technical support, servicing, repairs and upgrades to all Shearwater computers, past and present. Knocked at 90 stock Shearwater computers, but are also stockers and technical support centre for many other manufacturers, including Divesoft, JJCCR, Hollis, Revo and Kiss Rebreathers.
Based centrally in the UK, Knocked at 90 also offer full rebreather head servicing for selected manufacturers.
Bespoke cable assemblies.
Advice on specific fitting requirements.
Suggestions and guidance for home builds.
Computer laser cutting and engraving.
Pressure testing to simulate 400 metre dives.
So, Knocked at 90, a reputation built on supporting both manufacturers and divers worldwide.
Go to knockedat90.com and make sure you are following their social media to keep up to date with their latest news and offers.
And that's really good because I think there is this thing whereas, well, I'm not going to dive in the winter because it's cold.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But if you've got this facility within Santee and the heating options.
I've seen students stand there shivering at the waterside and I think, and I've looked at them and I've been in dry suit. They've been, to be fair, wetsuit, right? And I've seen them stand there absolutely shivering, listening to the instructor. And I think, how much are they really taking in?
Because yeah. You can just see
they're actually freezing cold. And yeah. It is cold, you know, and it doesn't really warm up. I like a wetsuit to dive in, but I generally don't get in that till like June, you know. And we've got such a short window for wetsuit diving and, you know, shallow waters. So hearing you say about, you know, getting students in heated vests and proper thermal stuff is the right way, because otherwise what's going to happen is that students come through, somehow get through, then go, oh, just really didn't enjoy it. And they either don't finish the course or you never see them again.
Well, there's a line where it stops being education and starts being survival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we've all seen that on courses.
That.
So everybody who learned to dive in the UK went through the washer, so to speak. I learned to dive in the army and that was and then there was no quarter given. Like care that you were called. So
but sign up for that in the army, don't you? Do you know what I mean? If you and your family are just going to go and go, hey, we want to learn, we want to dive, we've been seeing all the stuff about
diving. You want a good experience.
They want a good experience, and you want to get that family to go, right, we want to sign them up to the next course and things like that.
And also
getting the kids involved.
It used to be super expensive, and batteries were super expensive. But, you know, the technology is moving on. And now... And people say to me, okay, well, what's expensive? Yeah, well, it is a little over £1,000 you need to have a battery that will do two recreational dives, a thermovalve or a connector to connect it from your inflator, and then a vest. And you think, yeah, okay, that's a lot. But most people have probably spent £3,000 to £5,000 on their dive kit. So you've done your dive course, you've decided, yeah, I really like this. And you've spent this £3,000 or £5,000. Let's call it four, hit the middle.
Yeah.
And you're cold when you dive. So this sport that you love and you've invested this into already, you don't really start diving until April, end of April, because it's cold. And then you stop diving like end of September because it's cold. Some of the best diving in the UK, certainly at the inland sites, is in the winter months or the shoulder months.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, you know, the people that are going to dive all year round is different, because when you start talking about temperatures that are south of 5 degrees, some people, if they're not experienced, that they're not going to enjoy that anyway. But you've got this range, which probably is about 4 or 5 months of the year, from, let's say, 5 degrees up to 12, 13 degrees. So for an investment of £1,000, you can almost double the amount of time that you can spend doing the hobby that you've already decided you love and you've already invested this money into. So a lot of the schools now a lot of the centres have got kits, the heating systems that they put in the school that people can borrow to try, because once they've tried it, I mean, a heated suit is a completely different thing. But the heated vest and the heated gloves, as soon as people have tried it once, they're like, okay. Now I understand.
Yeah. And it's the evolvement of seeing where dry suits are going, isn't it? It's
absolutely.
I've tried those gloves on at Crystal Sea Scuba, and I have to say they are pretty awesome. They are lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. It changes, you know. You can enjoy something and it's not perfect. It's not, you know, there's issues with it. But when you try the same thing and it is perfect, then it's a different experience. So even people who've been diving at Stony for 20 years and enjoy it, but my hand's always freezing when I get out. Then they try it with a pair of gloves. Mm. And they come out and they go, that was such a different experience, because I didn't spend the last 20 minutes of the dive trying to get air into my glove because my hand's really freezing.
Yeah.
Mm.
And instead I spent the last 20 minutes of the dive just diving, and then suddenly I was at the end and I was like, wow, this is... So it's... You can do stuff now that makes life a lot easier for you and a lot more comfortable.
Yeah. And from a dealer perspective, going through this training and continued training, it sets them aside from non-Santee dealers, I guess, doesn't it, with their expertise?
I actually wouldn't go as far as saying that, because that's down to the distributor or the manufacturer that's doing it. And there are certainly other companies that have a good knowledge of dry suits. There are. That would be stupid to say.
Mm.
I think the difference with Santee is, when you decide to become a Santee dealer, it's not a huge investment from a money point of view, but it's quite a decision to make, because it takes a while. I say to people all the time, don't expect your door to be kicked down now by people going, I need a Santi suit tomorrow. But once the flow starts and it goes through, normally it's the, you know, the dive center owner has a Santi suit, then the instructors have a Santi suit, the dive masters get them, and then it starts to, then the continuation of that business is, once it's in its solid state, is fantastic. But I've lost my train of thought then.
Well, I think we've seen that kind of involvement of Santi.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I've seen it. Yeah. Seas, you know. Yeah. And you're seeing it more on the water, on the quayside, when you're getting kitted up, when you just walk along. We'll use Stony Cove as an example. But when you walk along to the bottom to go get a cup of tea, you look around, and I would say a third of the suits are at least Santi. You know, and you can see.
Well, it's true, it's, because, yeah, from me,
5 years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. That would have been, yeah, you know, other brands, and other brands are out there, you know. But it is true. You are seeing that development through, because, you know, people are looking around and thinking, hey, and you only got to go to your dive center, you know, who are already a Santi dealer, and feel, and actually feel the quality. You can, there's a, you can feel it, and you think, yeah, I like that. And we were talking to a diver, where were we? At Raysbury, weren't we?
Yes.
And he was in a E-Lite suit, and he was a tech diver, wasn't he?
Rec diver.
Yeah, yeah. Loves his recs. And we were chatting away. I was absolutely perishing cold.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
We were freezing
cold because we were in normal clothes.
He sat there. He stood there chatting away to him. He could have talked to us away. He was, right? Chatting away all day. He had his he had his, you know, thermal suit on and all that, and he was loving it. You know.
Yeah, yeah. No, it, I mean, it feels good for us, obviously, to see it happening, and it's there's a tipping point where it becomes, which we've passed now a long time in the UK, that it becomes almost a self-fulfilling prophecy that it's gonna grow.
But all these people can't be wrong.
No, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? So there's no hidden secret here. All these people can't be wrong, and there's a reason why, you know, you're looking around thinking, hang on, they're in Santi, they're in Santi. You know, these are all people who have paid money to be in these suits, and they're diving, and you see them in the winter, you're seeing them all the way through, and enjoying their doing great stuff and diving.
And you can, ambassadors as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can launch a product and you can pump a load of money into marketing and you can make it look like a fancy new product. But as you said, that works the first time round.
Mm.
Yeah.
But when you're going through generations of people purchasing the same suit, and now for Santi, that is multiple generations of people that are buying the suit and keep buying the suit, and people are on their second suit and third suit and fourth suit.
Yeah.
Then you know you've got. Then you know it's the product.
Yeah.
It's not the marketing. It's not the. It's not the fancy ass pictures. It's the, at the base level with Santi, the reason Santi is successful is because, I truly believe this, across the board, it is the best product on the market.
Yeah. I think they look sharp. I think they look good. And, you know, us divers, we like kit. We like shiny stuff or black stuff. And, you know, we do. We like having kit and things like that. Sometimes we just don't need it, actually. We just like it. You know, fishermen are the same. If you speak to any carp anglers, you know, they sit there for hours at the side of the lake and they've got all this kit. Okay. And it's like, well, why do you have that? Well, because, you know, you never know. You might need it. But people, when you look at the Santi suit, they look good. Mm-hmm. Don't they? You know, and you look at some suits, you know, and they're like, you think, okay. But Santi, they look good at the side. And you think, and
they're all individual like as well. They're all slightly individual with slightly tweaks. You know, somebody said to me once, and it was a very good statement to make, if you want to understand retail in the diving industry, one thing you've got to understand is that anybody can turn into an office guy, into a Navy SEAL by putting on a diving suit at the weekend. There's a lot of truth to that, people. And why not? Of course you want to look good.
Yeah.
Feel good. You want to feel like you're, like you do at the gym. You don't You buy gym clothes because you want to feel like I'm ready to train. Yep. So we're diving and Santi, and you see that more now with the Avatar range as well. Like the new Avatar suit that Aeron, we were at the boat show for 10 days in 12 days in Germany. And everybody, of course, people come to the Santi suit stand to buy their suits, but everybody was looking at the Aeron thinking, wow, what is that?
Yeah.
And it's been in the magazines a lot now. And there is definitely with Santi, they understand and they acknowledge there's an element of design that's needed.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you go back through the Santi range in the time frame, so even if you go back to the original suits, the one of the original suits, the E-Space, even back then when that came out, it was... I mean, E-Space today is pretty much the same as a lot of the other modern suits that are out there. And when you go through the emotion material was a very lightweight material, and the market went, no, that's never going to work. That's not going to work. But it worked.
Yeah.
And it comes through to now, to the modern day. I mean, the E-Lite Plus is now in its fifth year. The E-Lite Plus and the Emotion Plus, but the E-Lite Plus in particular, that is still, we talk about it. Where does Santi go? I'm excited to see where Santi go because I have no idea where they could go. Yeah. Like it's still today. It's the benchmark of suits.
A brand who I think as a comparison in a different market, I think about is Gymshark. Gymshark started with, forget the guy's name now.
Yeah, in a bedroom.
In his bedroom, and he come up with a brand, and he looked at gym, what people were wearing in the gym, you know, and he went, gym equipment don't have to be like that. You can actually look smart. And women can look nice and look smart in the gym. So, and I think this is the comparison in the different brand where Gymshark has built up a really good brand and a really good reputation and a good business by making their clothing look and making their customers look really smart, you know, and it's the same with the Santi. It looks good and people do want to, I believe divers, when they spend money, that, you know, they want to feel the quality, and two, they actually do what looks smart as well, you know, because you are, Santi is a very active brand when it comes to social media, you know, is probably one of the most active I think we've seen in the diving world. And we've been around 4 years.
She's a legend.
Honestly, we see it. You know, we see some brands and they don't get it. They don't get the importance of social media and things. They don't have social media people. They don't share stuff. And they appoint ambassadors who don't even know they're ambassadors. And it's like, and we've had that, haven't
yes,
we?
Yeah.
You know, and it all filters through, and it all helps to build that brand. And why somebody would go, hey, actually, do you know what? I'm thinking about changing my suit. Who do I know who's doing good stuff and investing in the future? So, you know, future materials, because that's where dry suits and undersuits are going to keep developing. Is sure. That next? You know, neoprene makeup, or maybe not in neoprene. It could be anything, you know, whatever, wherever that's going.
Customers make a brand evolve. That's
you've absolutely got Phil Short's ambassador. Yeah. You know, Phil Short's involved with Deep, and that is going to be such an exciting thing coming out. And you guys, you know, having him as ambassador, you know, says volumes.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the key to all of this, though, is the connection. Mm. And the connection, the people who have Santi suits, they feel a connection to Santi. And what's quite interesting about that, Johan Engqvist, who owns Real Diving, all of the brands that we work with, or let's say like this, we don't work with brands that we have no connection to. Yeah. We don't work with big huge global brands. We work with people who we're connected to, whether it's Halcyon, Suex, or in this case Santi. We communicate directly with Santi. We're part of the, you know, we're part of the development of it. We're part of this feedback going backwards and forwards. The connection between Real Diving and Santi is incredibly strong. And that means that the dealers, they feel that connection as well. They feel connected to Santi.
Yeah.
Therefore, the customers also feel through the dealers, through the distributor, but that connection is made. It's not a faceless brand that's, you know, sold from an office thousands of miles away. And it's important to have that. And that also wraps in with the social media. And what Martina and Camilla and the guys at Santi have been incredible at doing is creating that connection.
Yeah.
We don't focus necessarily on the product. It's more on the use of it. So we, like, you'll see most of the social media that we produce, whether it's Santi directly or through Marcin at Real Diving, it's about them being used. And we use these products for all sorts of diving. I mean, at Real Diving, we do have everything from recreational divers. I mean, I'm a recreational diver now, all the way up to exploration divers within our Real Diving team, which Phil is part of. He's the granddad of. He's the boss.
Yeah, he was doing about 160 meter dives, weren't he?
Yeah, so that's amazing. That's
Team Real Diving, but we're using the equipment that we're telling our dealers to tell the customers to use. We're using for those type of diving.
Yeah,
so we're really putting your money where your mouth is. So this, all of this, the net effect of all of this is a connection between all of the parts.
Yeah.
And I think that the divers really feel like that as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, one thing that we haven't touched on, which we should, is as a distributor representing a brand like Santi or any brand of that sort of quality, the other thing is to understand what happens when something goes wrong.
Yeah.
What happens when this doesn't fit, or this doesn't fit this person, or there is an issue? So we have our own warranty center in the UK. So everything is done in the UK, and it's done very fast as well. Mm-hmm. And the warranty for Santi suit, it also, I mean, you get automatically 2 years, but then if you sign up for the Stay Dry Club, which is, there's no cost to that, then you get a 5-year warranty.
Wow.
Gosh, that's good.
Does that include servicing, or is servicing?
No, servicing is extra. But if you have an issue with your suit, then you send it in. So there's certain parts of the suit that are different. Like plastic zippers is a 2-year warranty, metal zippers is a 1-year warranty, flex soles. So different parts of the boot, different consumable parts have different warranty.
Right.
But the suit itself, I mean, if the stitching was ever to come undone, which I've never heard of. But if there was an issue with the stitching or the construction of the suit, that's covered under a 5-year warranty.
Yeah, wow.
So there's also an element of, and we can talk about Phil as we have, because Santi took off him his E-Lite suit because it's in such a state that they forced him to have a new suit. And we've actually got that suit at Real Diving hanging on the wall in Johan's Rebreather Museum. And that suit's done hundreds of dives. And I mean, when it's full short suit, it's not, you know, it's not just popping in at Raysbury.
Yeah.
This suit looks like it's been through World War III.
Yeah.
But the reality is, with that suit, if I took that suit and gave it to our magicians in the servicing department and they put new consumables on it, he could dive that suit for another 300 dives.
Yeah.
Because the construction of the suit is so well done. And the fact that we don't use any heat during the construction, it's all cold glued. So it's literally somebody stood with a paintbrush and a glue pot, three layers on the suit, 3 layers on the tape, and then it's hand rolled.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Because you're not compromising the material with any heat during the process. The longevity of the suit is just great.
Right. So, Phil, there's one thing that does come across as, you know, is there's no messing about in the way of health and safety, and safety. And that's why he's got the role he's doing.
Yeah.
Deep is that health and safety and being safe diving comes first. You know,
Absolutely. I mean,
if he's down at 160 meters doing a dive and look and exploring some cave or whatever, you know, I know that that suit is going to be fine for me doing a 20 meter dive at Stony or going off at Weybourne or, you know, doing the M2 bit later this year. You know, you know it's going to be okay.
Yeah. I mean, I joke about the Phil being the godfather of Team Real Diving, but it's not because he's diving to any depths. It's because of how he operates as a person and how he operates and how he mentors people. Mm. And it's people like Phil, they will never use a product just because somebody's asked them to use it.
Yeah.
That just doesn't enter into their psyche.
No.
To do the level of diving that they do for as long as they've done it. Yeah. If the suit wasn't right, he wouldn't be wearing it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it definitely comes through.
Yeah. So that's it. And I mean, and hopefully the dealers, they have the confidence and they're selling really well with growing again.
Just to talk about servicing, just to reinforce this, because obviously this will be probably a worry. If people have any concerns about buying a suit of Santi, who are so you're a UK diver, so when it comes to issues and that or comes to servicing, you know, it's all took care of. We haven't got to send a suit back to Poland.
So let's say you buy a suit from your local dive shop and you have an issue with it, because there are, you know, there's this goes for all dry suit manufacturers. Nobody's making their own zips, for example.
Yeah.
So if there's a problem with a zip, generally you start to see it across all of the brands, because everybody's buying them from the same place. So if you have an issue with your suit at all, you take it back into the dealer that you purchased the suit from, and then they will take care of it. And there's options with that. I mean, that the dealer has, it can go to the warranty center in the UK, and they can fix pretty much everything apart from constructural changes to the suit. So anything that needs to be, a panel needs to be changed or something needs to be adjusted, then it would go back to Santi, but that's dealt with by them. That's not the customer. And generally it's they've got like a, they probably need the suit for a week or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's good. So if there's dealers out there that are not Santi dealers, how, and they are interested in looking at Santi, how do they start the process?
They can send an email to sales@realdiving.com. Mm-hmm. And then Dean, who you've had on your podcast before, he's working for us now in the UK, and then he will contact them and they can take that conversation.
Yeah. And process wise, so from the initial contact to having the knowledge of measuring, how long does that process take?
For a dealer, it can take a matter of weeks. I mean, it doesn't need to be. There's a few things that we need to go through to make sure that it's right to work with that dealer from both sides. And then we can start the training process. But we run regular dealer training in the UK. We run regular dealer training over in Sweden. So there's a lot of access for the dealers. And it's not just, you know, if I say to a dealer, oh, you can come over to Sweden and I'll host you here. Then it will be the dive center owner that comes, which is fine. But in most cases, it's not them who stood there on a Saturday morning selling the suit.
Yeah.
So what's really important for us is the dealer training we do is actually focused towards all members of staff. So we want everybody that's going to have contact, and more so the people that are going to have contact with the customers. So we do regular training all the time. And we also do regular diving events only for our dealers. So we do it at Stony, at Cape and Ray, at wherever, and then we invite our dealers to come and dive with us and just to socialise and then just let the ideas flow.
Yeah. And it creates that continued relationship as well.
And for sure. And the community, that the Real Diving community, that is obviously the Santi community as well. It's like at the dive shows, now at Go Dive, all of our dealers come and work on the stand.
Yeah.
Together, which is like, not the norm in the UK.
No. I want one thing. I just want to just go back on. You mentioned Dean. Just for people who are listening who won't maybe know him, you mean Dean Martin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's really good. So that's given people a really good insight into what a Santee dealer is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hopefully, potential customers as well.
And where to go to start the ball rolling?
Yeah, and if they go onto the either onto the Santee website or onto the Real Diving website, then there's a list of dealers there. And maybe we can even put that into the we can put that into the
Show notes.
yeah.
Yeah, we'll put all the relevant information into the show notes so people, it's just a click away.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
your diary, so you've got Go Diving coming up in March. Anything else coming up in the
Yeah,
sort
there's going to be
of
some
future?
there will be some demo events that will be launched, and they'll probably be run in the UK in April, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we're right in the middle of the last weekend was the Scandinavian Dive Show, and it
Yeah, I
was
saw that.
before that, and now we've got two left. We've got the UK Dive Show, and then we've got the Finnish Dive Show. So we're
Wow.
in the eye of the storm when it comes to
Yeah,
the so I'm pretty tired at the moment.
well, we're looking forward to the Go Diving show.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Yeah, come and say hi. We'll be there with all of our brands with and Santee's. We'll have yes, actually. Thank you for reminding me. The dive show this year, we're gonna have all the sizes of the Eli Plus and the new Kango, the new Polar Tech undersuit from Santee, and we're gonna do the UK launch of the new ladies Aeron. So the new Avatar suit, the ladies version will be there at the show. And we'll have all the sizes of the Avatar Aeron as well. So people can come and try the suits on, get fitted, talk to one of our dealers, talk to one of us, and we'll go through that whole process. And we'll have obviously all of the heating and all of the other models of suits there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, great opportunity to
It is, yeah.
see the whole range.
It's the only dive show left in the UK.
Yeah.
So that's the one to go to.
It's fantastic. They've done, yeah, Mark and Penny and Ross, they've done a fantastic job. It really, it's something to be proud of. And
Yeah.
we're involved in other markets, as you know. And I can tell you this, the UK dive show this year will be as big as the dive hall at Boot. And that's quite an impressive step to come to. And you've
Yeah.
got manufacturers that are the guest speakers there. You will see this year the investment that manufacturers are making.
That's good.
And that's a good judge of how successful the show is coming. And people are starting to launch new products there. We'll have the UK launch for the ladies Aeron suit, which people are asking about.
Yeah.
So yeah, they've done a really good job, and it's fantastic for the diving industry.
Yes.
It is, yeah,
Yeah,
definitely.
and shows encouragement for people that don't dive as well, that get into that industry and sport.
Yeah.
So if you're out there and you're wondering, get yourself to the dive show.
Yeah. We're there both days, aren't
Yeah,
we?
come say hello. No, that's been really interesting, and yeah, hopefully an education to people. Anybody we talk to on the podcast, we always ask a few set questions. So, if you could take three people diving, obviously in Santee suits, who would you take? They don't have to be divers. It's just the principle of taking them under the water for that experience.
Well, I've thought about this, and actually, the first two are really easy: my son and my daughter, because they're 5 and 7, and I would the thought of seeing their little faces underwater just would just it makes me cry inside. And then the third one, I think I would actually like to take Stephen Fry underwater.
Nice.
And
Good.
obviously, I've thought about this a lot. I've been awake a lot. I'd like to take Stephen Fry underwater because A, to see him underwater, and B, I'd love to hear his explanation of his first vision underwater when
Yeah.
he came out, because I think it would be a Shakespearean moment.
That'd be good, yeah.
Yeah,
I
and that's, I
like
guess, a person we've never had mentioned on the
that.
podcast
No.
before. So,
Yeah, something new.
yeah, we like that. And you're a confident guy. What gets you out of your comfort zone?
Mine diving.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Where diving. I've been very fortunate in my diving life, and without paying for it, I've dived in some most of the places you would name on your bucket list. But mine diving, I can see the and of course all of my colleagues, they love it, and that's the best thing. And I can see why I should, but
Right.
Is it the overhead environment?
I think so. I think it's I think so. But I mean, there's a couple of places here in Sweden where they've got there's some beautiful mines where actually I've taken the Crystal Seas guys came over and we took
Yeah.
them called Tuna Hespe, where there's two open cast parts of the mine where you can dive even as an open water student. So you get the feeling of being in the mine, and it's absolutely gin clear, 40 meters visibility, beautiful, and I love it. When they start going in these little tunnels and they start talking about like, oh, you've got to go down there and we're going to go through the keyhole. I'm like, man, give me sharks any day.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, you know,
Yeah.
Phil Short, he's done all that amazing stuff, and
Yeah.
you think, wow, it's just.
Yeah. No, they're amazing. It's a certain breed of people.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody's got their thing or
Absolutely.
things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the final question is, if you had a billboard that you could put out to the entire world, what would you put on your billboard? It could be a statement, picture, video, but just what's your message?
I was thinking about this as well. This is going to sound like a shameless plug. I'm going to explain it afterwards. I would actually, of course, I'd put Santi on there, but I would put Go Dive. And the reason is this: I care about this industry. I care about the industry in the UK and all of this competition with different brands and all that sort of stuff. We all sit down and we talk together. We're all friends. We've all known each other for a long time. And one thing we all have in common is we care about this industry, not just from a monetary point of view. We care about it. And things that are organized like Go Dive, where we can get divers together so they can actually see what's there, what is available to them, is the thing that's going to keep this industry going.
Yeah.
And keep you in jobs and me in jobs and keep these new divers coming. The last dive show, there was an incredible amount of people between the ages of 25 and 35. Really, really good. I mean, that's what we need. So we don't allow ourselves to become a mammoth bone.
Yes.
Yeah, you're on.
So yes, shamelessly plug in the Go Dive show, the Go Diving show, but for those reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is so important to encourage youngsters to try it.
It is absolutely got to, and for the future of the sport, because otherwise, numbers start to dwindle. And I think that is a great finish to what's been a really nice episode, isn't it? And
Yeah.
it's been great hearing about the Santi brand, and why dealers should be signing up and selling more, because for that reason. So it's good.
Excellent.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Jamie. That's
Thanks for
really
coming on.
interesting.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
See you at the show.
Yes,
Bye.
we definitely will see
We'll come find
you. Okay.
Well, that was brilliant, wasn't it? And yeah, it was, as I just said, that was a really nice episode. Really good to hear about why dealers should sign up to the
Yeah, well,
process.
it's an education, I think, more than anything, isn't it? It's
Yeah,
a
I think you rounded things up really well on the end there on that billboard question. And the diving world is quite a small world, and
And people all
do
talk.
have to protect it, because you've got to. And it's good also hearing about the new suit coming out for ladies as well, because we've had many guests have dived for years who said that they used to struggle in their early years because there wasn't the suits out there for
No,
them.
it was one size fits all.
They'd be either in a men's suit or they'd be braving in a wetsuit or something, because there wasn't the range of dry suit. So it's sometimes we have to believe people by their actions, and it's seeing and hearing that Santi bringing out new suits, they're looking at the development, they're looking at reinforcing these the understanding and training
They're
of
thinking.
dealers.
They're thinking of the diving experience.
They are,
Yeah.
yeah, it is. And I think there's a several points you can pick up on, making sure students are warm and comfortable, because I've thought that, you know, I think how can students properly enjoy it, the diving, if they're just absolutely freezing? They're paying for that. It isn't like the army. You know, the army you sign up for, and that's part of the parcel. You know, it's hard treatment sometimes. But if you turn up with your young daughter or young son, and they hate it,
They're
that
not going
ruins
to
the
carry on.
experience.
Yeah, but they won't
Well,
continue.
carry on,
No.
and they're gone.
No, so it comes across customer service, customer relationship, brand awareness,
Yeah.
and that's what builds success. And it is
We're seeing it on the dive sites, definitely.
definitely, definitely. Yeah.
So, Sandy, keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, yeah, and we look forward to the Go Diving Show.
Certainly will. We'll see him there. If you are going to the Go Diving, hey, we're going to be walking around with recording stuff and cameras. We'll be doing sort of snippets with people, won't we? We'll
Yeah,
be
just
catching
quick
up with some of the
chats.
speakers. And then, you know, if you've got maybe you want to just come on and say hello to somebody or whatever, we will be doing that as well. So come say hello. Don't be scared.
We're harmless.
Well, I am a diet, Jamie.
Yeah, so that's coming up very soon. And then we'll be talking again to Santi in a later episode as
So,
well. Yep.
yeah.
So do you have a look at Knocked at 90, our
Yes.
sponsors of this podcast, for all their expertise and equipment for recreational and technical divers.
Yeah, and you know, they are, you know, the one of the main names out there in the diving world. So they're not just about diving, they're about recreational diving as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's about everything.
We want to say thank you very much for Jamie for giving us that time.
Yeah, so Jamie Parker from Real Diving talking about the Santi brand. Yeah, very good of him to spend an hour or so with us this morning,
It
isn't
was.
it?
So that was the Big Scuba Podcast.
Yes, thanks for downloading, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Now, that does wrap up today's episode of the Big Scuba Podcast. But if you want to hear more from the podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe or follow button, depending on what platform you are listening on. That way, you will never miss an episode from us. But if you are listening on Apple Podcasts and did enjoy what you heard today, we would really appreciate it if you head to the show page to leave a 5-star rating and review. It really does help us. If you do, please take a screenshot of that review and send it to us on Instagram, and we'll give you a shout out to say a big thank you. If you have any questions for us or anything that has been mentioned in today's episode, be sure to reach out to us on any of our social media platforms or send us an email. The links are in the show notes. We will get back to you no matter what. If you have made it to this point in the episode, we both want to say a big, big thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode.